o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch.
It's almost as if Brian Bulaga joined us, which he's going to do at 10:30, so anticipate the 11 o'clock hour starting about 59 minutes from now, most likely. All right, Tausch, we had some fun at your expense with your Ashcraft call.
Yeah.
But you are an accomplished color analyst. I'm curious if you had any other struggles during the game, because it was your first game.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about how things
choppy.
Can be sloppy in the NFL.
Yep. Yeah,
college, you don't have preseason games.
I'll tell you this. I know I will be better in week two. That's all I'll say. That was not my best. I'll just put it that way. Now you get me. I'm literally going to write out on a paper.
Tucker.
Ash. Ash, just to make sure. You know how when you do a pronunciation deal, really focus and you got to draw it out and make sure you can sound it out appropriately?
Sure.
Put
phonetics.
Eight H's in there. Ash.
Yeah, I need to really lengthen. And I think, for as much as I know our Johnson & Sons paving reads, they're fun. I like doing the asphalt. I'm done. I'm going to start saying ashfault.
Well, that's one way to go.
Yeah.
Sure, they'll be pleased. They love you over there. They'll be fine. I do want to ask a football question. Given the landscape of college football and the fact that there aren't preseason games in college football, I don't want to bring up betting lines, but they were a heavy favorite. Not as big of a favorite as Oregon was over Jason X fighting Vandals. But I saw that and thought, these games are hard in this era, and it turned out to be much more difficult than the odds makers believed it was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how long do you think it takes for college football teams that have changed their complexion with the transfer portal and people coming and going to figure out who they are? Because South Dakota!
Oh, we're going to get used out of this week.
Comes to Camp Randall Saturday, and then, Nelly, let me tell you about them Crimson Tide from Alabama after that.
Yeah, I'll say I think it's going to be easier to move the football consistently this week than it will be next week. I don't think that's going to be any my focus. So.
Tell us more about South Dakota.
So, it's just, Matt mentioned something on the broadcast that I thought was a mind-blowing stat, and that is for all of the Division I football programs, what percentage has a new starting quarterback?
42%.
63%.
Wow.
Which is crazy town. It's a crazy way of, looking at the constant influx now of what is going on. Different transfers and that was a crazy number. And so to answer your question, I think there's going to be some teams that you're just so much more dominant athletically that the Ohio State's playing Akron and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think from the standpoint of no preseason games, you have spring ball and you have some other stuff that you can work through, but it just takes a little bit of time. So for everybody that's freaking out, there are some concerns, no questions about it. I would not be I would definitely not be sitting here and telling you that everything's smooth sailing. But on the grand scheme, this is going to be a group that, and Fickell has said this since he's gotten here again, you want to get better, you want to be playing your best ball in late October, November, and then hopefully December. That's the goal, and I think you'll see constant improvement of where this football team's going to be.
All right.
This, too. What I loved about this game on Friday was, I probably jinxed it, but the penalties. You always worry about a lot of penalties in early games and turnovers and sloppy play. You didn't see – there are obviously a couple turnovers, but it was not a sloppy game. It was I think there was only four or five penalties in the whole game. And a couple of them, it was I love that part of the game. And we saw a lot of the physicality that I thought we didn't see, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And Walker, the tailback, the transfer. The transfer from Oklahoma.
Is that how I say that?
He was a bowling ball of physicality.
Uh-huh.
Like brought it. That touchdown run he had was a thing of beauty. So there's a lot of good things, but you know, obviously some concerns and question marks too.
Last thing, and then we'll play trivia. What did you think of Van Dyke in his first game?
Up and down. Big arm, made a couple of throws that you'd say, that's I totally get it. And then I thought in the red zone had a couple of really bad decisions he was very fortunate and lucky to get away with.
Mm-hmm.
That if he doesn't get away with those, we don't find a way to win. So, you know, it's funny because Matt did a piece with him in our pregame. I did something with him last week. And he is very aware that people don't think he is elusive out of the pocket and running with the football. And I thought there were times in the game that he showed that he can move a little bit and get out of the mm-hmm. pocket and make plays.
Now,
he do that against the big boys? We'll find out. But he is obviously that is something that he has worked on and is hoping is a big, you know, is a component to what he's going to be able to bring to this offense. So I thought all in all, I thought he was consistent. But there's a couple of plays that I'm sure he'll look at and say he wishes he
got
made
away with
decisions.
Yeah, he definitely got away with. All right, we need to play some trivia. Jesse, what's today's category and which caller would you like?
It is the sports weekend recap, despite the fact that it's Tuesday. And we have something to talk about, guys.
Great recap, but great weekend of sports.
Yes, great weekend of sports to recap, which is why we're doing it.
Can you imagine when the NFL's playing on Labor Day, too, how good that's going to be?
So we're planning the Boldathon, which I think is going to be Thursday because of Pella tomorrow.
I'm not going to lie to you. I really felt we should have done it last week, and I think now we're getting too close. That's just me. That's just me. I don't want to get behind the weeds.
Publicly second-guessing the producer of the program 100%. Who has to do all the work.
But I did this to him in private, too, so it's fair.
I don't recall that conversation.
Go through your texts.
Some might say that this is the kind of loser's mentality Matt LaFleur had when he went to London.
That's true. Okay, so
we're going to have to figure out when to double up on trivia this week. We could do it tomorrow. You could grab two people coming in for free sandwiches.
Why don't you just do a bowl trivia contest? Like make
you can do Brazil trivia and Wisconsin trivia on the same day.
So at some point there will be double trivia, but today is not that day. It is the sports weekend recap today.
All right, caller 10.
I saw Domofsky. He doesn't even do the bold picks anymore. He's giving them up. He's got other people doing it. Walder? Yeah, Walder.
Seth Walder again? He did that last year.
Ah, the analytics nerd.
He is so scared.
It's all because of you.
That's a shame.
Jesse's scared of me, and Domofsky's scared of you. Don't be scared to play trivia. Caller 10 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 10 right now to play trivia. I listened to Tausch and LePay on the call on the Varsity app, and I kept hearing them talk about American Family Insurance presenting the game.
And indeed, Packer fans looking for the ultimate game day experience. Well, American Family Insurance has you covered. Picture this. You hit your very own VIP tailgate party, and then you cheer on the Packers from not some ordinary seats, from jaw-dropping seats. Enter the Dream Weekend Sweepstakes to win amazing game tickets, a private tailgate, exclusive Jordan Love merch, and much, much more. It sounds incredible, right? Well, don't miss out. Visit amfam.com/Packers to enter today. And you have until the stroke of midnight on October 21st to get that done. Again, amfam.com/Packers to enter. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
Jaw chomping? Is that what it was?
I wanted to make sure for those on the YouTube stream saw the jaw drop.
That's not the sound of jaw dropping, mate.
What does jaw dropping sound like, Jesse?
Oh.
I'm sorry, one more time.
Sounds like Tim Allen.
Oh.
All right, caller 10 for trivia. We will play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
play some trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is David in Grafton, who is not a first-time contestant. Not only that, but he's not a first-time contestant playing the Sports Weekend Recap Trivia. He did it. Jesse, did you do this last week?
I believe, if memory serves, David in Grafton was the contestant who got all three of the Sports Weekend Recap right last week without needing any of the answers.
Well, he set a high bar. It.
So we're not going to give him any clues this week then either.
Well, let's double check. I may be misremembering. We should probably check.
Of course. David, good morning. No, how are you?
You got it right.
Okay, good.
Hey,
it's
good
always
guys.
Good when Jesse gets something right.
I was actually calling to see if Jason had any restaurant recommendations for before the game in Brazil.
I do. Fogo de Chao.
That's one.
I don't know if they have that chain there or not. All right, we need to play trivia. Here we go. Question number one by Tausch on the Sports Weekend Recap.
Do they just call it a steakhouse there?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Because it's a Brazilian steakhouse. It wasn't. I was expecting him to hit a button like that one right there, but he didn't. Go ahead, Tausch.
Which top 10 team was upset for the second straight week to begin the
Florida State.
Boom. Dave's good.
Florida State, they've made a few headlines, so I don't want to take away from Dave's accomplishment there. But I'm guessing a lot of people would have gotten that one right. Let's see if he can do it again for question two, though. Dave, here we go. All 18 Big Ten teams played their first games of the college football season in week one.
True.
If you weren't listening to the show earlier today, then you don't know the answer to this, necessarily. What was the Big Ten's overall record in those 18 games played this weekend?
18-0.
You were not listening earlier.
I love David's confidence, but he's wrong.
I was not listening.
17-1. Tausch let the cat out of the bag there.
Minnesota
losing.
Yeah.
Setting off the fireworks despite losing, which Tausch said he's okay with. So Minnesota, the only Big Ten team to lose its opener.
All right, David, let's get it back on track. Which former Carolina Panthers running back, now the head coach of the Big Ten UCLA Bruins, secured his first victory as the team's new head coach with a 16-13 win in Hawaii on Saturday? Is it? You know the answer, or do you want the clues?
I could throw out a random running back, but no, I don't know the answer.
Well, let me hear your random running back. You're not bound to this.
Jonathan Stewart.
Okay.
Well, that's one of the options.
That is one of the options. Is it Jonathan Stewart, Steven Davis, or Deshaun Foster?
He didn't seem to like the Jonathan Stewart. I'll go Deshaun Foster.
Atta-babe! Atta-babe!
Jonathan Stewart,
what,
a former
I ain't
Duck.
Playing poker with David. Shoot, I'm now just reading the answers.
I don't know how legal that trivia just was, but it's okay.
Well, you went 5 years without even having the out-of-state rule, so what the heck do you know, Jesse? Great job,
true.
David.
Congratulations, David. You got 2 out of 3. You ended the perfect week early, so good work on that. You got 3 of the possible 4 entries.
Should have been listening. My own fault.
Yeah, well, you get penalized around here when you don't, and Tausch gives out answers. Cranberries to potential trivia answers. David, we appreciate your loyalty to the show, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. I love you guys.
Oh, he's cut him off.
Cut
off.
Get in,
guys.
You.
What are we doing
he
here?
He was done. He forgot.
You
want to
get your stupid Brazilian steakhouse joke
He got
in.
An untimed down at the end to get that in there. Nicely done.
All right. We need to get to Bulaga.
But he didn't get it in there.
He didn't. You hung up on him.
You know.
That was a very pregnant pause.
We'll take it.
It was not. It was not that pregnant.
It was a pause, though.
You should not pause one single second when it comes to redoing your driveway with some Johnson & Sons paving and ass craft.
Indeed. Summer's still here, but before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons Paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering those 3 hours of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal. Every 2 to 3 years, repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes, and replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare your customers or tenants with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
Brian Belaga of Iowa. Who did Iowa beat in their opener?
Illinois State.
33. They put up a ton of points. It was funny because that's
Tim Lester era.
Oh, death taxes in the Iowa not scoring enough points. Oh, the under, over, whatever it is. And then it turns out that they
scored under, over, whatever it is. I've never heard of it.
I have to act like I don't know.
Bulag and I were doing some 5:30 a.m. trash talk to one another this morning as we were texting his appearance on the show. So he's full of it today.
We can't wait to have him. Yeah. He joins us next. Brian Belaga. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city.
Our famous friend, proud alumnus or former student at Iowa, just ask Uncle Homer, where they put up 33 points on a very, very impressive Illinois State defense. It is our friend Brian Belaga, Iowa. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are thrilled to have you. Oh, you're on the farm in the kitchen.
I am. Doing a couple things out here this morning.
Are you looking out your window, surveying the orange grove, thinking about, like Tausch always thought, you know, the smell of manure on his farm was the smell of money. Is it the smell of citrus that's the smell of money on the Belaga family farm?
No, not yet. It's really just right now the smell of fresh cut grass. It's something that I just can't get over. So I'm getting that right now. I still, you know, I'm covered in grass, so I'm still, you know, it's still pretty fresh. But just kind of looking out, making sure I have everything that I want to get done in mind today so that when I'm done with you guys, I can go out and execute. But yeah, just
a plan. What do you got planned today? Give us a little taste. What are you going to be doing today?
Well, I've cut already. So that was around 6 acres of mowing that I got done.
Push mower?
How big is your blade?
Pardon me?
How big is the blade on your lawnmower? Yeah,
I mean, it's a 54-inch deck.
Okay, zero-degree turn, I'm assuming.
It's a deer, so it's not one of those zero-degree turns. It's pretty close. Okay. It's like a riding tractor.
Okay.
Now I got to go edge everything. Yeah. Then I got to go start cutting some palm fronds down. Palms need to be taken care of. Some of the tree limbs are getting a little low. Like, you know, we're hurricane season, so if you could take care of some of these things before they pop up and become an issue.
Sure, that's good advice.
So I'm gonna go take care of some of those things. I think that's it for the day.
Okay,
and so then you fly out to Brazil.
Another 2 hours. Yeah, and then Tausch is coming to get me in his G6, and he's gonna take me to Brazil.
So, Blue, Jason and I were talking earlier, and you know, you've talked to enough guys up in Green Bay. Nobody really wants to go to Brazil, right? Are we all on the same page with that? Because it's not like they're going to be on vacation, get to go do a bunch of cool stuff. It's going to be game, you know, fly out there, hotel, game, come back, 12, 24 hours about travel time. It's probably irritating to a lot of guys. But I said, I think I love the fact that Matt LaFleur, yeah, he's not happy to be going over there, but he's not doing the same act that he did where you could tell and he was verbal about saying when they went to London, he didn't want to go. And the team's play, and especially in the second half, reflected that. Are you okay with the fact that LaFleur can – you can tell Jason can read it because he's in the locker room as the Brazilian expert to all of the Packer players, But nobody wants to go, but at least their messaging is tight, saying we're there to play the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not the same whininess that maybe we heard from Matt LaFleur in the past. Do you think that's important, or is it a nothing burger?
No, I think it's important. I think if the message comes off that, you know, it's like a victim mentality that we have to go over here and play a game, and I guess it doesn't really matter whatever happened because we didn't want to be here in the first place. Like, that's a bad message that gets off to the team, and then they kind of have that attitude going over there, like, oh, we shouldn't even be here in the first place, so let's just go get this thing over with and get home, and then we can start the season for real. So as long as, like, and it sounds like that's not the way these guys are thinking, which is fantastic. No, they don't probably want to go, and like, no families are going. It's probably not the best environment for families to be in, to be dead honest with you. If you're looking at what's kind of been going on over there, it's they probably don't get time out of the hotel, if I had to take a guess. Not like they're going out to a nice dinner at a Brazilian steakhouse when they get to, you know what I mean? So,
do,
like,
they call it Brazilian steakhouse, or do they just call it steakhouse? Am I right, Jesse?
I don't know what they call it, but it's not like the trip when they go over to England, you know, where they get to experience different things and go out and kind of enjoy their time. It's a show up and play. So if I were doing this trip, no, I wouldn't want to go do that for, you know, such a short time. But in the same sense, you just look at it as we're there to go do a job. We show up, get it done, and leave. And no, yeah, I get it's in a different country and it's a lot of travel and that stinks. But when you have it more of a one-track mindset that it's we fly in, we sleep, we play, we leave, it makes things a little bit easier than if you're there for the full week and you don't get to do anything. Mm-hmm. And you're just in your hotel for a full week, go to some random field practice, go back to the hotel sitting there. So I understand them not wanting to be there, but I think the messaging is right.
Tausch, you've been to Australia, right? I don't want to miss.
Hello, mate.
All right. G'day. Brian, how long was that flight for you guys when you went to Australia, Tausch?
From Los Angeles, probably 11 or 12 hours.
Okay. So, Brian, what's the longest you've ever flown on an aeroplane?
When I went to Scotland, around 8.5 hours.
Okay,
was the longest flight.
So you guys were both vacationing. You weren't going to play NFL football games. If you were, right? Or did you guys
that
play
is correct.
In Scotland?
Yeah, no, we did not.
You did not. I know you didn't play in Sydney because that was after your career was over. But I'm wondering, what is the protocol of an NFL player to make sure that jet lag, which is real, does not impact your performance? I was talking to Josh Myers yesterday, not informing him about Brazil.
Blue, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Jason got on and basically said guys in the locker room are coming to him about Brazil. Like, restaurant, like he's some Brazilian expert. The guy hadn't left his basement in 6 years, and he's a Brazilian correspondent for the Green Bay Packers.
That's not what I said. Be that as it
Jesse?
Yeah. Keyshawn Nixon was in the middle of a conversation with Jair Alexander. Then he spotted me and said, I got to go talk to Wildy. I've got some questions about Brazil.
Hey, Wildy.
No.
Is it because you wear the yellow and green often, and that's obviously country colors, and they think, hey, you must be a frequent traveler to Brazil. You must know a lot about the country. Yes. I don't know. Maybe.
Or Eugene, Oregon, one of the two. All right.
Hey.
In all seriousness, if you're, let's put you both back on the roster, and you're not happy about a 10.5 hour flight. I don't know what the plane accommodations are going to be in terms of getting you two big human beings comfortable. But what are you doing when you land? So because again, Josh Myers admitted that when they played in London, his legs were heavy and that he didn't do a good enough job of figuring out what he needed to do to be at
his weak
best.
And arms sweaty? Was his mama spaghetti? No?
This is what
none of that?
This is what I deal with when you're
so,
not the cousin son
of
the
day, I'll jump
in
first. So you have your, you know, routines that you do. And Jason, you'd see us when we were in Chicago. We'd go to the big and tall store. We'd go get a steak. Mm-hmm. We'd come back. We'd do the meetings. We'd sleep. We'd go play, and we'd leave. That's not how this is going to play. That's not how this week is. And everybody understands that this is going to be different. But it's different for both teams. And I think if I'm the messaging person for the G&G on this, I'm looking at this saying, listen, I know it's, you know, a pain in the butt. We're flying down there. But this is going to be, at worst, a neutral site game. We're not going to have to do silent count and all of the stuff that goes into a road game for offensive linemen, which is another added stressor to us. That part of it, if I'm in that O-line meeting room, if I'm Steno or if I'm Buttkiss or whoever's speaking to him, I'm saying, hey, yeah, this part, let's just make sure we're staying hydrated. This is going to be good for us. For us as a group, we're going to be able to change plays. We're going to be able to mix up the snap counts. We're going to be able to do some stuff that we wouldn't be able to do if we were going to Lincoln Financial in November or December. So start focusing on the positives of it. You can always look at the negative side of things because there's always something there. But in this case, there's a ton of positives. Yes, the flight stinks. Yes, all of the stuff that we've been talking about. But once the game is on, this is an advantage to the G&G over Philly, in my opinion.
Brian, you agree?
Yeah, like, I don't think either side is going to feel good playing the game. Like I don't know how you can get your body ready after that flight and not being there for that many days to get your body back to go play. Like, no one's going to feel really good. So, like, you just have to go into it with that mindset that, yeah, this is going to be a long day at the office. Like, I'm not going to feel great, but I have to look at this and what can I do to try to make myself feel that 5 to 10% better, whether that's hydration, whether that's getting to the hotel and getting in the Normatec boots or filling up your bathtub with ice and getting, like, doing something to try to pull your body back together, to try to get it back to normal or a steady state before you go out there and play. And I'm sure that Flea and those guys and Adam and Trish, like, they all have a plan going into this and what guys are going to be doing, what they're going to do on the plane, et cetera. Like, they got, you know, some protocol in play here. But I think Tau said it, like, the more you think about the negative, the more things, when you get on the field and something doesn't feel right or something doesn't go right, you start to think that those negatives are okay, and those thoughts creep into your mind. Where if you go into this thing and think about the positives, Tau said, as an offensive lineman, I have to go play a road game that I don't have to worry about crowd noise. Like, to me, that's like the ultimate positive. Like, that's fantastic. I get to go to a stadium that I'm not familiar with, playing against an opponent that's good, and I get to hear my snap count. I get to go through everything as is normal. Like, that would make me feel great right off the get-go. That'd give it a little extra pep in my step to begin with. And then knowing that the team that we're playing also has to suffer through the same things that we have going over there and the travel and trying to get their body back. I think there's more positives than negatives in the situation. And I mean, hydrate, get your feet in the Normatec, like, do all those things is like going to be a very common routine for all these guys. But I don't know. I think Tau said it, there's more positives than negatives in this thing. And I think, and Jason, when exactly are they getting in? Is it like 24 hours before the game? Is it like 36 hours before the game? When is like the scheduled arrival of the team to the hotel?
Jim, will you put up Brazilian expert Jason Wilde, please, Jesse, on the video stream? What's the name of the airport? How long is the drive to the hotel?
We're not talking about anything but the Philadelphia Eagles and what we need to do to beat them. So we're not even telling you what time the plane leaves or what time it lands. I don't know. I am curious to ask him that today. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to answer that. But yes, I don't know what time they are going. They are leaving tomorrow. I'm assuming that they, I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming that they will leave somewhat early in the day, Wisconsin time tomorrow, to accommodate a 10.5-hour flight. But they are arriving tomorrow because, again, they are going to walk through on Thursday in Sao Paulo. So I prefer, by the way, as a Brazil expert, I prefer the Brazilian spelling with an S instead of the Z.
Don't you have to put something over the S then? Isn't it Brasil? If you do that, Mr. Expert?
I'm the expert. So, yes, I'd like a little squiggly line on top of one of the letters if I could, please. All right. I am curious about a couple of other things, including we will get to tackle talk, which will involve Matt LaFleur will not say it out loud.
But he has dropped some breadcrumbs for a rotation at right guard, which apparently is just how we're going to do things at that position forever. If you don't have Marco Rivera, we're just going to rotate, guys, moving forward. We'll talk about that, plus a lot of other football-related aspects to the opener, which, again, is Friday in Brazil. You're the one who speaks Portuguese, so I would...
Theme.
I would turn to you for the various pronunciations. Want to remind you that in any language... The bottom line, if you've been injured, is one call. That's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about how you don't pay until they win, how they've got great lawyers and all the different bios of them, all the things they do in the community, and David's history in our communities as well. Gruber Law Offices, gruber-law.com, 414-276-6666. More Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go...
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, our famous friend from his not-yet-famous farm in Florida. All right, Brian, we'll get to tackle talk in a second, and I'll let you and old boy take over. But I am curious, what exactly worries you about this team going into Friday? What's your biggest concern?
You know, I don't know if I have, like, a bunch of concerns. Like, I feel really good about a lot of aspects of this team going into it. Like, you look at them positionally, they're very sound at every level. If you look at it from the offensive standpoint, from the outside in, I feel really good about them. Obviously, what we're going to get into, the right guard position is, I mean, clearly the one position on the entire offense that is going to be up for grabs or that isn't settled at this point in time throughout training camp. And then we look at the defensive side of the ball, and I think we have Pro Bowl and all pro type players on every level. I think linebacker could be the one question. How does Quay Walker play this year? I think he's going to have a nice year because I think he's a good player. But, you know, I feel like we got really good players on all three levels, which you need. So there's not a big concern. I mean, I think the unknown about the kicker is probably a thing that is an obvious, you know, question mark at this time. And if he gets put in a position where he needs to make a kick at the end of the game, how is everyone going to feel? I'm going to be a little nervous about it. I can't sit here and say that I feel great about it, but we'll see if that even becomes an issue or not, if that even comes up. So I think for me right now, it's going to be how does that right guard position kind of work itself out? Does someone take a stronghold of that spot in this first week to kind of give this group the continuity they need going forward, or how long is this thing going to be a revolving door with two guys like that? I think that's the one thing about this team that I'm concerned about. You can't control certain things. You can't control injuries. I mean, those things just happen, and those are things that you have to deal with as they come at you. So, like, no, I'm not worried about that. We can worry about that when those things actually start to pop up, which I hope they don't, but this is the NFL. Things happen. But as the team stands right now going into it, kicker, right guard are the two things that would come to mind for me.
Yeah. And what about the running game and the amount of workload you'd give Josh Jacobs? I know the first game, but with the injuries and with the lack of, I guess, experience in the passing game, is it concern you at all that you're going to be relying on Josh Jacobs too much?
Yeah. I think that's something that I've talked about with Homer before is the workload that he gets these first 8 weeks with not really a viable, healthy backup as of right now, right? Like, there's guys that are his backup, but they're not even really healthy. So then you're really looking at Jacobs to carry the burden of this, you know, rushing attack and effort, and then obviously third down pass protection. for quite a while until the backup guys get their legs back underneath them and they're healthy, which is concerning because, I mean, I've said it to Homer and I've said it to probably you guys as well. Like, you don't want to burn him out in the first 10 games of the season. Then when it comes December and it's cold games in Lambeau and cold games on the road where you want a punishing back, like Jacobs, he's burnt out and you can only give him, you know, 15, you know, touches or 20 touches where he feels really good, or maybe you wanted to give him 28 to 30 in a certain type of game. You know, you never know what type of games you get into. So, yeah, that's a little bit of a concern for me early on, and it'll be interesting to see the way they balance it out early, you know, in the season, especially against Philly, how that snap count looks like for him in these first few weeks.
Yeah, and Blue, I think one of the things, especially early in seasons, and whether it's college or the NFL, tackling and finishing blocks at the point. The running game, it's really hard to judge in practice and everything else because, well, did you tap him off or did you finish that block? That's always one of the things I'm most interested in seeing how it translates when it is full-on tackling, because you have not done that really consistently, especially for these starters.
Yeah, we saw him in Cleveland a little bit, right? We felt in that Cleveland game, I get Cleveland didn't play any of its guys, but I thought the first unit did a really nice job tackling. I thought that they were rallying hats to the ball. There wasn't many missed tackles. It was a lot of gang tackling, which is what you want to see from your defense. You want to see multiple guys around the ball. One's wrapping up, one's punching the ball out, and the other securing a tackle in case that guy gets out of it. So, like, you like to see that. So, I guess I'm not too concerned. Again, nothing becomes an issue until it's an actual issue, right? So, like, I'm not worried about the tackling right now unless it starts to rear its head throughout this first game in the first few weeks, because we saw a little sample size against Cleveland. They look good versus Cleveland. There's nothing really else I can base it on, so like that's one thing. And then the second thing would be you're talking about finishing of blocks in the run game. And I feel like that's a mentality and attitude thing. You know what I mean? I really do. And I mean, you get it. You did it for a long time. Like, finishing blocks and staying latched onto your defender, it's an attitude thing. It's not really something you can practice. It's not something that you can really train. Yeah, you can have the coach screaming at you, finish your block. Like, that's all great. Like, but it's a mentality thing when you get on the field. And I really like this group that we have. I feel like they are a group of strong finishers in pass pro and in the run game that we saw later in, you know, the year last year. Like, this is a tough group. I really like what they put on tape last year. And I think we're going to see something very similar to start this season. At least I'm hoping so. So, like, I'm not too concerned about that right now. And I think it gives guys a little extra juice when you got a back like Jacobs behind you. Just like when Aaron Jones got put back into the lineup mm-hmm. last year, guys had a little more energy, a little more juice, because you know if you hold on to that block for that half second longer, that could spring a back like, you know, Aaron Jones last year and Jacobs this year for a big run. So it gives you that little extra bit of energy to maintain that block, to finish that block for that extra half second, because it can spring something huge. And, I mean, every lineman, we never want to be mentioned, but, you know, if your block's the one that's highlighted for springing a 30, 40-yard run, like, that's great attention. So you want to be that guy that's out there that's giving that little bit extra to help potentially create a huge play. And when you got big backs and good backs that can create that, you know, that gives you that extra juice to do so.
All right, two more things for you, Brian. But before I get to those, what's in the big squirt bottles behind you? We've had, for some reason, Jesse's had you on the video camera the whole time instead of the rest.
It's like oil. Like you'd put on your, like, your Blackstone. There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
And then you got some mustard back there, too? Here, I like oil and water.
Yeah, oil and water. And then that's just soap. Yeah,
mustard.
Well, so yeah, what is one of those? That white thing hanging under your cabinets? That looks like napkins. Is that napkins?
Is that where we're at, Mr. Brazil expert? No, I was simply pointing out that Brian was on camera for a very long time, to the point where I was examining his kitchen,
a lot to say.
All right, so two things beyond your oil and water bottles. One, you talked a little bit about the defense. We have really not seen much of anything, and yet I am brimming with confidence about it. Because, and one of the reasons is even though every player acts like they are bought into new defenses when they arrive, Mike Pettine, Joe Barry, there just feels like a different vibe.
In fairness, feel like people bought into Joe Barry?
No, okay. I thought they were faking it. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Fake.
And I was talking yesterday with Xavier McKinney, who I may or may not have compared at one point to Charles Woodson, who I need to circle back with Charles because I'd like to address that with him on the show if I can tomorrow. But he was talking about how much Halfley listens to them. Now, this is a guy who wasn't here last year, but when he says that, that is one of the issues that I think really created problems between the players and the coordinator last year, is that they didn't feel like they, or the last 3 years really, that they weren't heard. So even though you don't have a lot of evidence, you talked about your expectations for Quay Walker. Why are you so bullish on this defense personally?
I love the structure of it. I love what he's asking them to do and what they ask of this unit as a whole. And it's very fun to see, like, and I get everyone's job is very individualized and you have to do, like, I get that. But you see the way the different units of the defense work, and it's very specific, right? Like, this is the D-line's job. It's not anymore where you're dropping into coverage and you got to loop into the C-gap or B-gap because this, like, there's none of that. Like, it is, you guys are doing this. This is your job. Don't worry about what Quay Walker's doing behind you. Don't worry about what Xavier McKinney's, you know, flying down in the box at this point. Like, don't worry about that. That's not your concern. Your concern is you're going straight and you're creating penetration through this offensive line, and you got to figure out, is it run or pass really quick? And if it's pass, we want you to get the quarterback. And if it's run, we want you to blow up the blocking scheme so that guys can fill in and make tackles. That's their job. And then it just kind of filters its way throughout the entire thing where guys, they're not thinking about everybody else's job, which I think was the big issue with the Joe Barry defense, with the Pettine defense. Like, guys are thinking about so many things at once that they forget what they're supposed to be doing, which is the most important part of a defense, is that if one guy's out of a gap in defense, it could blow up an entire play for a defense that goes for a huge gain or a touchdown. Like, and that's not going to be the case in this defense. Are there going to be lapses? Of course. Are there going to be breakdowns from time to time early on? Yes. This is the National Football League. The offenses get paid a lot of money to exploit defenses and weaknesses. That's going to happen. It's going to take halfway a little bit of time to figure out, you know, in real game situations, what guys need to be put in what situations. That's a natural order to this thing. But I think why I feel good about the defense as a whole is because, yeah, the guys are bought in, but I think they're bought in because they know the defense works. They've seen it work on multiple teams with players that they may feel like they are superior than, or they're better than, or they're more fitted to the scheme as a whole, or they feel like they can perform what they're being asked better than the guys that they've been shown on tape, and they feel good about it that way. Or, like you've talked about all training camp, they've done a really good job against our offense. And our offense, I believe, is going to be a pretty good offense. They've done really well against them in camp, which gives the team confidence. So I'm really excited to watch them play. I'm really excited. I understand there's going to be moments that don't look great. And listen, we're going to watch football for the first 3 weeks of the season. That isn't going to look that great. That doesn't mean that we just need to say, here's another D coordinator. Here it is again. The same old, same old. Like, I'm not there with that. Like, I understand the structure. I like the structure. I like the mentality. Let's give this thing some time. I think we're going to see some good things from it. And especially the players that they've been bringing in and, you know, adding to this defense, and the guys that have already been here, how they fit into this scheme. I mean, I think it's going to be a really, really fun thing to watch all year.
Well, they're going to get a big test from this offense. All right, before we go, your choices at right guard are a guy who wears your number but who's conditioning was questioned publicly by the coach, or the first-round draft pick who didn't play guard ever, not once in his life until training camp. Who you got?
Well, it's a... I don't,
what
okay,
a ringing
so,
endorsement for Brian Bly.
So this is where I'm at on it. And, you know, I've thought about it for a while because I've wondered what he's going to do. And I guess whatever they decide to do is great. We'll see how it goes, obviously. But if they started out with the first round pick, Morgan, obviously they saw enough from him in that short time in camp to put him as the one in the depth chart before he got hurt. So clearly they liked something that they saw at that point to elevate him to that position without playing a single preseason game or without taking a single snap against an opposing team in a joint practice. So, like, I have that to go off. And if I know Steno, if I know Butkus, if I know LaFleur and the way they look at linemen and what they feel like they need from those guys, like, they feel confident about him and they like him and he did a lot of good things. My only question would be, now that he didn't get any of that work, right? None of the joint practices, not a single snap in a preseason game. Is he really ready? And that's my biggest concern. So if I'm going at this as, you know, as Butkus or Steno or LaFleur, and they're sitting in the staff room this afternoon picking who they're going with to start this game, I'm going to go with Sean Ryan to start it and let him, the experienced guy that's done that, that's, you know, played in big games, that's, you know, played in hot, I guess it's not going to be a hostile environment because it's, you know, but it's a different environment, so to speak. I'm going to let him go out there first and let him get, you know, get this start of the game so Jordan Morgan can kind of see and feel out from the sidelines how this game is being played. What's the tempo? What's the physicality? So that he's just not put out there right away and he kind of gets, I'm not saying he's going to be shocked by it, but you are shocked by it a little bit as a rookie going in there for your first time in a real game. Like, yeah, you play the preseason, but it's at a different speed when you go out there for real. It's a completely different speed. So, like, I think you allow him to kind of work in there after those first series or second series, you know, jitters and excitement is out from the other team, from the Eagles. You let Sean Ryan, who's done it, start the thing off. Let's get this thing rolling. And then, obviously, if you don't like what you see from Sean Ryan, you may do it earlier. But if you like what you see from Sean Ryan, maybe you leave him in there. And that's just the way this thing goes. Someone's going to have to win this job eventually, so, like someone did last year at the left tackle job. Like, eventually, someone's going to claim this spot. And that's what I'm all for, is getting someone to claim the spot so that the continuity is there. That's all I'm looking for. Jason,
haven't you felt like LaFleur has been much more complimentary of Sean Ryan the last week or two?
Yeah, he had a line yesterday when I asked him about Sean Ryan and the public criticism of his conditioning. And he said, you got to give him this. He is one accountable dude. And you give him any criticism, he takes it to heart and does something about it, which, you know, you guys play in the league. Not every player takes that, right? And you know, if he'd have done that to me, I would have crawled up in the fetal position because he embarrassed me telling everybody on television that I was out of shape. So he answered the bell. I have a lot of respect for Sean Ryan for doing that. My only reticence, I don't care how athletic or talented Jordan Morgan is, Brian Bulaga, extremely talented guy, terrible NFL guard. Found that out right away. Now, maybe if you'd have kept working at it, that would have changed, in fairness to you.
Okay.
I was trying to be
not
nice.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
As long as you didn't have to face Bruce Irvin. But the bottom line is that he's never played the position in a game. He missed all the preseason games now, too, so he hasn't gotten guard work yet. I think that's why they rotate him in. If I was predicting, I would agree with Brian and say they probably play Sean Ryan more, but they rotate maybe every third series to Jordan Morgan to get him acclimated and maybe set the stage for him to replace Sean Ryan if he plays at a higher level going down the road. All right, we need to let you get back to your farm. We appreciate all of your time. Doesn't matter what time you join us, we keep you way longer. So I appreciate you carving out this extra time for us. Thanks, Brian.
It's quite all right. All right, guys, take care.
That is the fantastic Brian Bulaga. You can hear him on all of our ESPN Wisconsin shows. You can hear him on the pregame show. He's everywhere, and we appreciate his time. We also appreciate that you can find Behind the Bucks everywhere. And Behind the Bucks' latest episode is on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher. Behind the Bucks, Going for Gold, features Milwaukee Bucks stars sharing their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. From battling against their Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal, Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans, unlike ever before. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. You can find it on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins next, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.